So today we're going to talk about self-control. And it's difficult, right? I think about whenever I go to like a store, in our grocery store, or well, really anywhere, and you pass that aisle at the register, and it's just loaded on that side with candy, right? And you see your favorite candy, or maybe you're not a candy person, I don't know, but for me, it's Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and I can tell you, if I can get two of those suckers for under 99 cents, I am diving on those. I love Reese's, and especially during the holidays like now, you're going to start seeing the Reese's Christmas trees, and the Reese's eggs, and during Easter, you see all of these things, and I love that peanut butter. It is so good. So you see things like that. And the other thing that I realized is Amazon. You have the app on your phone. Most people have subscribed to Amazon Prime, 2-day free shipping. I mean, come on, you get Amazon Video with that, and it's so nice, but that 2-day free shipping, you start seeing these deals that are happening on Amazon. And before you know it, you got 15 empty boxes that are sitting in your room. And you're like, I got all this stuff now. It's so sweet. It's easy when you got your information in there. And all you got to do is swipe that thumb and it says buy now. You know, and then all of a sudden you got something that you rarely use, but you got a deal on it, and you can't pass it up. Another thing that I realize we don't exercise self-control on is our sleep. Some people do, and I applaud them for that. But when you're nice and comfortable in your bed in the morning, and it's cold outside those blankets, your brain goes to, well, maybe I can stay in the bed for like 5 more minutes, and then 5 minutes turns into 10 minutes, and 15, and 20, and that alarm, you know, like snooze, snooze, snooze. Some of us just turn it off so we don't have to deal with the snooze, and then we just lay in bed. Something else that I noticed is our phones. This is kind of the difficult subject for some, where we don't exercise self-control on our phones, whether it be the apps that are on it, we don't, or the things we're looking up on it, just the sheer amount of FaceTime we have on our phones. I easily can do it myself, but I've been in rooms where I've sat down and me and this other person are the only one in the room. And I'm not talking about my wife. But we sat down and they never looked at me for 15 minutes. And they looked at their phone the entire time. And it makes me wonder, like, do you have self-control enough to put your phone down? I know some people would even feel lost without it, that when they leave the home, if they forget it, they can't contain themselves. They have to turn around and go back. Like, these self-control problems oftentimes lend themselves to sinful actions. And that's what in this 1 Corinthians 10, that's what Paul starts to address with the church of Corinth. And it says this, starting in verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, "For I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed to the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." God, or Paul's addressing, like, they did all these spiritual things, but they're, as he's going to get into later, their issues of self-control and diving into other things in they did all the right things, but they were doing so many wrong things, and God wasn't pleased. And it's almost following the idea that all these spiritual things do not save you. All of these spiritual things are, like, you can do spiritual things, and I put air quotes up when I say that. Those do not help you unless you have Christ. Christ is the center. Christ is it. And so he's saying that right off the bat. These people didn't understand it, and God was displeased with them. Let's keep going. Verse 6. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. This is written, basically, this is written and portrayed to us so we don't step on the same landmines that they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in blood of Christ? In the blood of Christ. The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices participants in the altar? What do I imply then? That food offered to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Shall we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And this is an amazing passage, because what we see here first is we see self-control as something we all deal with. Right off of it, he's addressing something that they lack self-control in. And these start in verse 7. And the first one is idolatry. This is the idea that they're putting other gods before the one true God. They're sacrificing to other gods. They're participating in the beliefs and acts. So whenever he says in verse 7, do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink. This is the idea that they ate and drank with the supposed gods. They did all these things that were supposed to be done with these other gods. And then the word rose up to play. This wasn't like the idea that they were like carefree and they did whatever they wanted. It actually, the word play is actually written as a euphemism for sexual acts. They performed and did these certain things that were to worship these other gods. So they did things and in our terms, they lifted things up and did things for these. They turned around and went and grabbed their phone so they can look at it a lot in order to worship and lift up their phone. That's basically what it is. They did things purposefully, consciously, to lift something up over other things or over God. Number 2 in verse 8, sexual immorality. We must not indulge in sexual immorality. This is the idea that these guys couldn't stop themselves from indulging in sexual immorality. They saw it, they wanted it, they did it. And God was not pleased with that. The third thing, testing God. This was questioning his plan and his love toward them. This was when the Israelites are walking through and they're hungry and they're like, why did you bring us out of Egypt? At least in Egypt we were fed. And they're questioning God's plan. And God didn't like that. So they would say things like, if you love us, do this. Well, God already showed his love to them. And so he's looking at them going, why are you trying to test me? And the last thing was complaining. in verse 10 it says, nor grumble as some of them did. The idea of lack of appreciation for what God did for them. And it's, and even more so, it is not being content in God, but they are trying to be content in their feelings, their situation. So they only saw their happiness. And if the needle on their happiness spectrum was on empty, they would start complaining and grumbling to God. And God did not like it. He wanted them to appreciate what he was doing for them, but even more so, be content in him. It's the idea of us leaning in on Christ and understanding that he heals us. He's our provider. He sustains us. He does all of these things for us. And so complaining is a lack of contentment and appreciation. So then we see a commonly misused verse. There's one line in this that people use all the time when it comes to our trials, and that is, it says, God is, or it, what people say is, he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Basically, people use this verse all the time to say, you know, like, when you're going through something, you have enough to get through it, because God's not going to put you in something you can't get through. And in fact, that's not what the verse is saying. The verse has been talking about the idea of self-control, and all of these people are being put in these spots of just, they're having a hard time controlling themselves instead they're diving into sin. And so they're being tempted and they're not controlling themselves. And so this is what they're leaning on themselves. And so in this verse, it says God, first it says God is faithful. And it's funny that Paul points that out. It's like, you're not faithful, God's faithful. You're going to fail, God's never going to fail. You may think it's the end, God doesn't think it's the end. God has a plan for you. You may not think God has a plan for you, but he does. He's faithful. He's going to be with you. He's not leaving you. And it says this, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. God is in control. He is it. When you're going through a temptation, no, God is in control. You do not have to be in control, because you know God is. That's the thing. And that's the point that he's trying to make. We ought to be leaning on God because he is in control. But it goes on. This is what I love. But with the temptation. So when you're tempted, know he's in control. With the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape. This has nothing to do with you, everything to do with him. He provides a way. He is in control. When you're tempted, there is a way out because he made a way. And then it says that you may be able to endure it. So he sets you up for success. That's what I love about this verse. It's not when you're going through something, God will never give you more than you can handle. Well, you're right, because he's in control. But it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with him. And then finally, I want to talk about verse 14. After he says that, God's in control. He's in control of the situation. Yes, you're tempted, but he's made a way for you to get out of it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. And I think it's really interesting that he says idolatry. I mean, but he doesn't say sexual immorality. He doesn't say testing God. He doesn't say complaining. He doesn't say those things that he's mentioned before. He says idolatry. And I think there's a reason. I think it's because idolatry has been the root of their problems. They've focused so hard on other gods that the other temptations that are starting to come in are because of them lifting up other gods over the one true God. Sexual immorality plays into their idolatry. They're testing God because they want to know he's the one true God over the others. And they're complaining because these other gods aren't giving them what they want, and they're not satisfying them. They're doing all of these bad things and they still feel empty. And so Paul is reiterating, flee. God gave you a way out. Sprint away. Be Joseph with Potiphar's wife. Run. Sprint away. Do not sit there and think about it and dwell on it. Do not indulge. Do not do. Turn and sprint. The sin is bad. It's not good. Sprint away. And that is that's what our view should be of temptation that leads to sin. We should be running away, but even more so leaning on God the entire time. So that in our weak moment, we're not turning around and looking over our shoulder back at the temptation and back at the sin, but instead we're realizing God provided a way out and we're running away. So what does this mean? Well, we have to start building up our self-control. We have to realize, one, we got to lean on God. We have to get into His Word. We have to pray. We have to seek wisdom. And then ultimately, we got to run. We got to run. And so we have to start building up our self-discipline and our self-control so that when we hit these temptations, we understand He has provided a way out. He is in control, and we need to lean on Him and run away from the temptation.